Amen. Thank you, ladies. Truly, that's what Calvary said, wasn't it? I love you, written in red. My friend, if you're here today and you do not know Calvary's love, you do not know the greatest love that could possibly be known by mankind. There is no love greater than the love that was expressed on Golgotha's mount. What a marvelous song. He wrote it in his own blood. If you would find Matthew chapter 9 today, that will be where our morning message will come from. Matthew is the very first book of the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in front of you. It's a pew Bible. There's one for every pew. If you need it, somebody will notice you don't have one and hand it to you. Book of Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, just a little bit to the right of center. I didn't check the page, I'm sorry, but you can find it there. Matthew chapter number 9. I want to preach a message today that will be reflective of the song that you just heard. I want to preach a message today as Jesus passed by. As Jesus passed by. The whole day has been about the Lord Jesus musically. We began it with Alleluia, sing to Him. We've a story to tell to the nations that's about Him. The choir sang, I know my Redeemer liveth. The hymn we sang said, Jesus, the very thought of Thee. The chorus said that He sets me free. And the girls sing, He wrote His love in red. Now listen to what Matthew found out in chapter number 9, verse number 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And He saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy. I will have mercy. God, we ought to say amen to God's mercy. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This event in the life of Matthew is modestly referred to here by himself. The man who wrote the book of the Bible that we're reading about is the very man that Jesus passed by that day. It's a very modest account of what happened. It's a very poignant account of what happened, because other writers wrote it this way in Mark chapter 2, Luke chapter 5. They began to write about the great deal that Matthew made. They began to write about the great feast that Matthew made that day. They write about the big house that Matthew lived in. They write about Matthew's hospitality, which in the Jewish world was of great importance. They write about the wealth of Matthew, for he was a very wealthy man. They write about the position of Matthew that day. Mark and Luke, especially that young Dr. Luke, and his eye for detail, he looked at Matthew, and everything he saw about Matthew was impressive to him. And so Luke begins to write down on paper under the Spirit of God's influence there of what he saw that day, but not Matthew. Matthew said, I was there that day. Matthew said, the Lord Jesus passed by me that day. And Matthew said, it doesn't matter anything I have. All that matters is my precious Lord and Savior. And so Matthew wrote that day, look at verse number 9, Jesus passed by. And he saw a man. He saw a man. Here was this wealthy Jewish man who could have leaped upon himself accolades and leaped upon himself position. But when it came time to testify of what Jesus did for him, he said, I'm just a man. I'm just a man. Praise God, the God man came by one day. And he walked by. He allowed me to follow him. You know, I'm reminded, words cannot express all that was in Matthew's heart. What a wonderful moment that was. What a graceful, marvelous, merciful moment it was. There he was, and Jesus, the God-man, standing in front of him, speaking to him. You remember the day you got saved? If you're saved in here, say amen. You remember that day? You think back upon that day, and really and truthfully, I don't care if you are wealthy or if you're poor. I don't care if you're from what country you're from. I don't care what your social status is. When it comes time to tell somebody about Jesus, we really boil it down and say, he saved a sinful wretch like me. Praise God that he saves the wealthy, saves the poor, saves the white man, black man, whatever color man or woman you are. All can be washed by the blood of the Lamb. And so there's Matthew seated there today at that day, and Jesus walks up. And I want to examine this great event. It's a marvelous event. It's an event that the Lord Jesus would love to accomplish today. And I want to look at a question that's in the passage. And it's an interesting question. It has an answer, but really it has two answers. It has two sides. We say there's two sides to every coin. And I have children, and if there's a fight or a blood-curdling scream, I know there's a problem. And I'll go up there, and Casey's our quickest one. She likes to shift blame, and she can speak real well. Tommy's not got his words right. It's like gravel in his mouth. And so by the time Tommy can say, Dad, Casey's saying, it's Tommy's fault. He did this, this, and this. And Tommy's just standing there like, do I even get a chance? Do I even get a chance? Verse number 11. The question is posed by the Pharisees. Why? Why this man? Why is Jesus Christ the least bit interested in that man? Why? I want to answer that question today. Praise God. I give glory to his name. I shout hallelujah that he was interested in me. Why that man? You know, very few of us can ask a question without a motive. There was a deep, wicked, disdainful, hatred motive that came from the heart of that Pharisee. Why that man? Not giving one ounce of thought or consideration to the man. He wanted justification from the Lord Jesus. Why is this man able to be with the master? And so I want to answer the question from the Pharisees' point of view and from the Lord's point of view. From the Pharisees' point of view, the man did not deserve the Lord Jesus. You see, you got to understand the Pharisees' point of view. They thought within themselves to be perfect, to be religious. When they walked into a crowd, people oohed, people awed. When they stood to pray, it was like E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton speaks, what? People listen. When the Pharisee would speak, everybody would stop. There he is. He's standing. Oh, he's going to pray. He's going to pray. He's going to pray. That old Pharisee would walk out, and he'd have that robe on, and he'd walk right to the front, and he'd begin to pray. And everybody would watch. Oh, then it was the grand time of giving the offering. I'd get interested in that too, by the way. That old Pharisee would walk over to the offering, and he would get over, he would bring out his bag, and it'd be a heavy bag. And he'd put it in, and everybody would go, ooh, and ah, he gave a lot of money. But the Pharisee thought within himself to be righteous. He thought that Jesus would be with him and him only because he was deserving. They thought within themselves that they had the ability to say, you owe your presence to me. They thought when they walked in that this godly man or this man who was of religious, this rabbi, this teacher, was privileged to be in their presence. And they wanted him to be with them because of who they were. And so when Jesus went over there and ate with the publican and the sinner, whom the Pharisee despised, whom they hated, whom they scourged, whom they would to God would go to hell, they wanted to know, why are you over there not with us? Why that man? Why are you there? We're worthy. Interesting. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, the Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one, is there? Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, the Pharisee said, you're with us, you should be over here because of our works. Titus said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved me. Praise God that I'm not saved according to my works, because I wouldn't be saved at all, and neither would you. And so there the Pharisee is. He's looking at Matthew and all those publicans there, and he's saying, they're not worthy for you. My God, help us to never get that attitude. Amen. We never want to be a Plantation Baptist Church. Let it never be said that nobody's not welcome here because of their plight in life. My friend, it's only by the blood of the Lamb that I'm made worthy. They may not be worthy when they come in, but Jesus will make them worthy when they go out. I'm not worthy. That Pharisee stood there and said, you shouldn't be over there. You should be with me. Why that man? Why that man was scourged? They said, he ain't worthy of anything. I am so thankful that Jesus is willing to be with the unworthy. Aren't you? With the unworthy. You know, my friend, you may be here today. Listen to me. Please listen to me. You may be here today feeling the scorn of men. You may be here today feeling the shame of sin. And you may be here today feeling the separation of your neighbors. But I want you to understand something today, and I shout it from the rooftop, you may resist all those things, but the Bible says Jesus is your friend. Jesus is your friend. I meet with people on a weekly basis, and it amazes me how successful, quote-unquote successful people carry within their own heart a feeling of unworthiness. And so don't tell me, and the enemy tried to get me not to preach that, but I know it's true. You may be sitting here today, and you may have a job, and you may have everything, but in your heart, you feel unworthy. In your heart, you feel the scorn of men. In your heart, you feel all alone. In your thoughts, you're grieving. I want you to know something. You've come to where Jesus is your friend. Praise God for that. I want to share from you why Jesus went to this man. The Pharisee said, you're not deserving. You're not deserving. He's not worthy. You should be with us. They had great disdain. But I tell you why Jesus went to be with this man. Very simply, a couple of thoughts. Number one, because this man needed Jesus. Because this man needed Jesus. Listen to me. Listen. I know this is going to be hard to receive, but listen, there's not one man and there's not one woman within the sound of my voice that does not need Jesus Christ. I met this past week probably the wealthiest man I have ever had the privilege of meeting. It was arranged by a member of the church. Called me and said, would you come to lunch? I want to take you somewhere. I said, okay, I'll be there. I showed up for lunch. We ate lunch and he took me to meet a man. He walked me on his property, and inside all of these buildings, which were airplane and everything, I mean, there were all of these buildings and hangars and all kinds of stuff, inside were every car that was great when you were a kid. If you saw the first Ford, he had one. If you rode on a John Deere tractor, he had one. If you rode in a 38 Packard, he had one. If you rode in a 61 Chrysler with the big fins going out there, he had one. Whatever you rode as a kid, he had one. And when I was a kid, Lamborghinis and Ferrari and all that kind of stuff, he had those too. Six $30 million airplanes sitting on pieces of rug. Just sitting there. I walked up inside that airplane. It was like going to heaven. Man said, you want to talk to the White House? I said, what White House? He said, you want to talk to the White House? You want to talk to Andrew Card? I said, Andrew Card. Andrew, that's the chief. Yeah, I got him on my cell phone. You want to talk to him? I said, I don't think so, buddy. I don't think so. Probably the wealthiest man I've ever met in my life. Well, mark it down. That man needed what I have way more than I needed what he has. Way more. I walked away from there with my heart broken. I thought, here's a man who sits among the wealth of kings, has access that I would it's impossible for me, yet if he died and split hell wide open, what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? There's not one person in this room that does not need Jesus Christ. And so why did Jesus go to this man? Because he needed Jesus. You see, I believe if you study the passage that Matthew had a longing in his heart for Jesus Christ. I believe that God was already working in Matthew's life. No man leaves everything at the drop of a hat without having God do some work. By the way, the Bible said no man seeks after righteousness, so there's not within man's heart a desire after God unless God puts it there. Every look heavenward is because of a work that's been done in my heart by the Lord Jesus. And so you're here today. You're not here today by chance. You're here today because Jesus is working in your life. And so here's Matthew, and he's seated there, and I believe he had a longing. I think he heard when old John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world." I think he heard the scuttlebutt going through his brethren when they said, "Did you see Jesus? Did you see Jesus? Did you see what he did? Did you see what he did?" And I think Matthew just took all of that in. And did you see how Jesus lifted that person? I think Matthew thought, "Oh God, I wish I could be lifted." Did you see how Jesus was a friend to that person? I think Matthew thought, "Would to God I had a friend. Everybody hates me." And so I think God was working on him. I believe when Matthew came to work that day, and I think his heart was heavy. I think he came to work today with tears, toils, and fears. I think he came to work that day looking for something. He may not have known what he was looking for, but when he found it, he was going to take it. You remember when you got saved? You remember how you were looking for something? You didn't know what you were looking for. You just knew you didn't have what you needed. One day somebody introduced Jesus Christ to you, and you knew it was the truth. And so you leaped for him. Church, listen to me. This is how a lost world lives. There are people every single day that we come in contact with, and they're looking for something. They would to God somebody could tell them how to fill that peace that's in their heart. Jesus said when he sat with the woman at the well, that whore of a woman, and he was witness Christ, and she goes back and she brings the whole city. Jesus said, "Look at them. Look at them. The fields are wide under harvest. They're all looking for something." Matthew came that day looking for something, and praise God, he ran into the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, look at verse number 9. He saith unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. What Matthew doesn't tell you is what Luke tells us is that Matthew left everything. I believe he came with God doing a work in his heart. I believe he came today with God. He came to work that day under the ordination of God. And I believe that he was there and Jesus knew he was there. I'm going to get that in a minute. And I believe he was ready. I believe Matthew had counted the cost and he would knew what he would do if he got the chance. By the way, if you're seated here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, let me explain something to you. There is a cost to having the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a cost. You will count the cost. No man will receive Jesus Christ and try to retain his Lord, my own self. It is either all of Christ or all of me, but there will not be either. I think Matthew did a struggle in his heart, and I think that it was torn there, and he came to work that day, would to God, ready to be saved. I'll tell you what, Jesus also knew it. Jesus also knew it. Jesus knows you're here today. He knows you're here. He orchestrated everything so you could be here right now. You say, "I don't believe that." The Bible teaches me that he does. That's exactly what the Bible says. He says he organized everything for you to be here right now. By the way, Jesus knew where Matthew was sitting. Jesus knew where the woman at the well was seated. Jesus knew where the demoniac of Gadara would be. Jesus knew that Saul of Tarsus would be on the Damascus Road. Jesus knew that Peter, James, and John would be in the fisherman's boat. And Jesus knew blind Barnabas would be sitting by the side of the road. And Jesus didn't just happen to go by those people. He made an appointment to go by those people. And my friend, he knows where you are today. He knows where you are today. No one wanted this man. No one. Praise God, Jesus Christ wanted him. You may be sitting there today and think, nobody wants me. Let me tell you something. Jesus died for you. That's how bad he wants you. No one wanted him. Preacher, what does all this mean? I'll tell you exactly what this means. This means that we can go tell it on the mountain. This means that with Jesus Christ, every man has a chance. With Jesus Christ, every man has a chance. There's a story. It goes like this. The great general Napoleon was thought to be a god amongst his men. The men would give their lives no matter what for Napoleon. It was not only an honor to fight for Napoleon, it was an honor to die for Napoleon. Story goes that Napoleon is in his final battle, and one of his young lieutenants, who absolutely just worshiped him, is mortally wounded. They carry his body back into the tent, and when his blood is spilling on the gurney and he's laying there and pretty soon he's going to die, he says to somebody, would you go get Napoleon? Would you go get Napoleon and bring him in the room? Please go get Napoleon. The attendees there could just sense the earnest there and see the blood and the death is so looming. They run out and somehow they get Napoleon to come into the tent. That little short man walks into that tent. That old lieutenant's eyes, whatever life they had left, they glisten. Napoleon is here. Words are hard to say now. Breath is hard to get. Napoleon, would you save me? Napoleon, save me. Napoleon, save. The last words on his heart, Napoleon, save me. It said that that general stood there, realizing his inability to do anything, walked out of the room, said nothing. My friend, if you could put your ear into hell today, I think you'd hear that young lieutenant saying, Napoleon! Napoleon, save me. No man can save you but the God man. I'm reminded of another story about a young man who's at the point of death. They take him and they put him on a cross. And they nail him to that cross and they lift that cross. They've put one man over here. They put a special man here and they dropped another man right here. This man's at the point of death, thinking about where he's going to spend eternity. And he looks over and he sees the Lord Jesus. He says, Jesus, would you save me? Jesus, remember me. Jesus doesn't stand there helpless. Jesus looks at the man and says, Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Let me tell you something. He's a lot better Savior than Napoleon. I bet if you could lift your ear into heaven today, you would hear that old boy saying this. We've heard the joyful sound. Spread the tidings all around. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus, what class? Saves. Jesus saves. I bet you'd hear him singing, knocking on those streets, wafting on the rolling tide. Tell to sinners far and wide. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Oh, give the winds a mighty voice. Let the nations now rejoice. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills, deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. My friend, let me tell you something. There's no greater Savior. There's no Savior, period, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Why that man? Because that man needed Jesus. Why you? Why me? Because we need Jesus Christ. Not only because he needed Jesus, Jesus knew that Matthew needed him. You say, does Jesus just happen on by people? My friend, Jesus doesn't happen on anything. He doesn't just walk by. There's no accidents with him. Let me give you a good thing to chew on while the rest of the message is going on. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Jesus doesn't just happen by. He made it a point to go by Matthew that day. Why? Because Jesus knew that only Jesus could do what for Matthew what needed to be done. Nobody else could do for Matthew what Jesus could do. You see, my friend, nobody can do for you only what God can do for you. Some of you know what it is to be delivered from alcohol. No man can deliver you from that. The God man can. Some of us know what it is to be cured from the love of gambling. Some of us know what it is to have the fires of lust quenched. Some of us know what it is to have a lying tongue made honest, cheating hands to be hardworking hands. Some of us know what it is to have fraudulent ways brought into ways of honor. My friend, there is nothing anybody else can do than what Jesus Christ can do for me. He delivered me. He saved me. He cleansed me. He lifted me, put my feet on a solid rock. Jesus knew that broken man, that hurting man, that man longing for something. Jesus knew that he needed him, but he also knew that he could only do what Matthew could do. My friend, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say this. When it comes to your soul, only Jesus can deliver you. He is the great deliverer. I'll tell you something else and we're done. Jesus went to that man because he needed him, because the man needed Jesus. Jesus also knew that only Jesus could do for the man what the man needed to be done. But Jesus also had something that only Matthew could do for him. Jesus needed his gospel written. And so he wanted Matthew to write his gospel. Here's what the Pharisee would say about this. Don't go to sleep on me if you'll miss out. He's a sinner. He's not worthy. Jesus would say, yeah, he is a sinner. But let's give grace a chance. He's unworthy. You see that sinner? I see that sinner. But I also see that man. And I created that man. And I created that man for a purpose. And I'll tell you what, you don't understand what that man can do when grace changes his life. Each one in this room is a testimony to what grace can do, aren't we? We were headed down a road and a life and a direction, and we may have been written off. But one day the grace of Jesus Christ hit my heart, and I'm a new man today. I'm a new man today. Praise God, I've been made new. I want you to know something. You're seated here today. You don't have any idea what grace can do in your heart. You sit here, and you're like Matthew, and you're so heavy with all of what life is. You don't understand that Christ will make you free, and grace will make you a new man. You see, it takes love to see. Love saw more in Matthew than anybody. And God's love sees more in you than anybody else. God's love sees more in you than anybody else. My friend, listen to me. No one loves you more than God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should have everlasting life. Do not misunderstand the love of God. He brought you here today out of your wealth, out of your poverty, out of your pride, out of your humility, whatever. He brought you here today so you would know the Savior. It's interesting, as I read that story, that everybody, there was a lot of people there. And Matthew was the only one who took Jesus home with him that day. He did the wisest, noblest thing there. He took Jesus home. When Matthew took Jesus into his home was made better. When Matthew took Jesus into his home, people came from all over to see what was going on in that home. When Matthew took Jesus into his home, Matthew became a better husband. Matthew becomes a better father. Matthew becomes a better worker. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say this, church. If Jesus is in our lives, we're made better. We're made better. We're made better. You may be here today. May I sell you this? The greatest thing you can do today is invite Jesus Christ into your heart to cleanse you from your sin and take him home today. That's what he was trying to tell about Matthew. Matthew, follow me. Do you know what? They killed Matthew. They killed him. He died a violent death for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think if you could listen to Matthew sing today, he would say this: it's worth it all. It's worth it all. It's worth it. Preacher, would Jesus save me? Would he cleanse me? Would he redeem me? Yeah, he would. How? Simply come forward. Let somebody take a Bible, show you what it is to confess yourself a sinner and to receive the Lord Jesus. It's not that simple. It's that simple. The hard part is for you to be willing to admit you're a sinner and receive Christ. Shall we pray?